Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
You know, the election in November, that's not revival. That was a reprieve. Revival is up to the church. It might be this is the last administration and Jesus is coming. It may be that this is a brand new little bit of a start, a reprieve, another soul harvest. Who knows where this thing can go? But I do know this. I want to be part of it. I want God to bless. We're talking about, we're praying for thousands of people in each location. We're praying that God would bless in such a way that people wouldn't know the names of the preachers or even the name of the church, but they know that God is at work. I'm talking about the kind of thing, and for weeks I heard about the meetings down there in Burlington, North Carolina, and I didn't know the name of the church. I didn't know the name of the pastor. But I mean, news was traveling like that. It can happen here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Now, New Testament Christianity, that's getting people saved and getting them baptized and growing in the Lord and growing in grace. And God is building his church. Last Sunday night, we had two men get baptized, two full-grown men. They got recently saved and they got baptized and they testified. And it was a wonderful thing. That's normal New Testament Christianity. And it goes on here at Fundamental Baptist Church. But I'm telling you, we have not arrived. We are in desperate need. It can't be just the preacher. Somebody's got to get real thirsty for revival. Somebody's got to get real desperate for revival. Not the kind of revival that fits my lifestyle, but Holy Spirit revival that changes my life and changes yours. Let's look at Acts in chapter 16. And I want this to be kind of a jumping off place. And impossible situations like we find in the city of Philippi, that's an opportunity for God. And that's exactly what happened. And Paul planted the church at Philippi. He's on his second missionary journey. In fact, he's received the Macedonian call. You read that. He goes over into Macedonia and meets in several cities. And prior to that, verse 5 of chapter 16 says, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, these are brand new churches. These are churches that were cities that had never heard the gospel. And Paul gets the Macedonian call and he goes over to Philippi. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. There was a prayer meeting going on, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, a business lady, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, now understand, these are the first members of the church of Philippi. And God is interested in your household. You get genuinely saved. You get genuinely born again. And it's going to impact your entire family group, your entire household. And others are going to get saved. They got saved. They got baptized. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, this lady was not of God. She was a demon-possessed woman. The devil always wants a piece of the pie. As soon as God starts to work, the devil wants to be involved. He wants some of the converts. He wants to mess up those that are genuinely saved. And Paul cast this demon out of her. And she too becomes a member of the church of Philippi. So far we got a business lady, her household, and then we got a demon-possessed woman and a damsel, and she gets saved, and she becomes part of the church at Philippi. Verse 19 says, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains, it always comes down to money, was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, under the magistrates, the municipal rulers of this city-state of Rome. It says, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. By the way, false charges. But the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now, you need to understand, Before we go any further into the story, they weren't handled with kids' gloves. Paul and Silas, their clothes were ripped off of them by the mob, and then they were beaten. Now, it was Jewish custom, they would receive 39 stripes, 40 save one, because they didn't want to break the law. But these aren't Jews. This is Roman law. They were beaten without mercy. And they were sorely wounded. Verse 33. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. God, again, we ask for your power. Pray that you take over in this service. Speak to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God's going to do a great work here. We are going to read of New Testament miracles here in the book of Acts and chapter 16. I don't mean some kind of a pseudo miracle worker or faith healer. I don't mean some kind of phony sign gifts kind of thing. God was at work. God, the Holy Spirit, was working, and a city hears the gospel, and many of them get saved. But it starts out by the riverside, and then by a damsel that is possessed of a devil, and from there it goes right to the innermost parts of the prison, a Roman prison. If you will, and if you would do some study on it, you would find out this is not the Mamertine prison in Rome, but this is a prison much like that. It's a dungeon. It's well below the surface of the ground, several stories. Water is dripping everywhere. It's the hole. There's no light. There's no candles. And in that inner dungeon, that inner prison, Paul and Silas are put in stocks, in chains. So they're very uncomfortable. They have been beaten. They are bleeding. The wounds are probably starting to scab over already. They're in a dark, dank, damp dungeon. There's no light. It's midnight. They're in a very uncomfortable position. They can't lay down. They're probably seated, and their hands are in chains or in fetters, and their feet are in the stocks that are mentioned in the verse I already read. So they're in a sitting position. Perhaps they're leaning against the wall, maybe leaning against one another. It's an inconvenient place, much like our culture today for the child of God. And by the way, don't tell me how rough you got it. Don't tell me about the great persecution you're facing at work. Man, don't tell me about your headache. We all get them. You know, the fact is, we in the 21st century are looking for comfort. The first century was a whole lot different. Normal Christianity, even in an inconvenient place, people wanted to serve God. I've never prayed a prayer that he did not answer. I've never cried a tear that he did not dry. We worship a God that is mighty and powerful. You might have a difficult situation right now in your life, much more difficult than I, and I'm not walking in your shoes. But I'm telling you this, God is enough. America is in a dark way this morning. Almost 60 million abortions, murders, immorality in every direction. The devil has joined a bunch of churches, led the leaders astray. More and more compromise goes on. The light is flickering. Days are difficult. They're difficult for teenagers, for young adults. They're difficult for retired people. You say, oh me, America is ripe for revival. Every revival that's ever taken place in this country started in a very dark hour. We are there. Paul and Silas are in the dungeon. It's an inconvenient place. It says, and at midnight, an inopportune time, 21st century. Some would say this is an inopportune time. The truth is, we can take this century and the technology and all the things that we have in our disposal and use it for the glory of God. We could turn things around, strike a match for God, and allow the light to shine in righteousness. We can take the media, we can take abilities and platforms and places that God has enabled us, as long as it's ethical, as long as it's right, as long as there's no darkness, there's no immorality there, and we can use it for the glory of God. It says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. At midnight, sang praises. Hymnio is the Greek word there for praises. It's hymns. Sang praises, hymns of praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You start looking at your life and what God has given you. No matter how dark the hour, even if it's midnight, even if you're in chains, you can give glory to God. Before long, you'll be singing. And here's the good part. The prisoners heard them. If in the darkest, nastiest storm of your life, you stand for God, the prisoners will hear you. They'll hear your songs. They'll hear the music of your life. They'll understand who Jesus is. You will preach a great sermon to them because you choose to stand for God even at midnight. What an opportunity to be alive and part of the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. The time, the days, the last days before Jesus comes again. We have the opportunity to be a bright light, a witness in a dark world. Man, we're not competing with our brethren. We have an opportunity to lift high the name of Jesus where people are running out of places to look for truth. And they are. They're losing hope in every direction. Metaphorically speaking, they're in the dungeon. They're in chains. Some are in the upper floors. Some are right down on the lower floors. And they hear a voice. Pretty soon they hear a duet. And Paul and Silas are singing. They're giving glory to God. I have no idea what they were singing, but it was from the heart. And you know, maybe they had to strain just a little bit. I don't even know if Paul can sing. I don't even know if Silas could carry a note in a bucket. I have no idea. But they're singing. They're lifting their voices to God. And a miracle takes place in an inconvenient place in an inopportune time. Man, if we just get right with God, if the church, if the church will get revived, the lost will get awake. They'll get saved. They'll want Christ. They'll want to be born again. I'm speaking to a full crowd this morning. Man, we have opportunity. I said this in Sunday school. I probably shouldn't say it now. I'll say it now. Don't somebody here will misunderstand me. You're wrong. We'll stand before God and you'll find. Now, there are times I'm self-serving. I'm made of flesh just like everybody else, but I'm not self-serving in this statement. Fundamental Baptist Church didn't just happen. Now, it's all God. All the glory goes to God. None of the glory goes to man. None. But I've been here 35 years. We were a small group. And God blessed. And there was difficulty. And there were tears. And then there was victories. And there was joy. 35 years. Again, not 2 years. Not 2 decades. 35 years. And it doesn't seem that long. Glory to God. I mean, it's all God. He said, I will build my church. I think that Fundamental Baptist Church, I believe that we are in position for great revival. I mean that with all of my heart. We've got to stay evangelistic. We've got to stay concerned about those that are around us. We've got to reach out with every ministry we have. We've got to make sure that the flesh is not glorified and the flesh is not exalted, but that only Jesus Christ is exalted. Man, wouldn't it be wonderful if a statewide revival? We've never had this opportunity. I'm telling you this. Never in the state of Michigan have I seen so many independent Baptist preachers, hard-headed, narrow-minded, bulging eyes, bald-headed, Baptist preachers come together and all want the same thing. Never have I been in a prayer meeting like I was down at Bridgeport on Thursday, where men were weeping. Men were praying for one another's ministries. Men were praying for God to send revival to Michigan. Men who are just old enough to remember how it used to be and see how it is today. Man, we need revival. I am going to be doing quite a bit of traveling this month, myself and another pastor in the north. Not going to be gone on weekends, not going to be out of the pulpit. I'm just going to try to squeeze it in. I'm going to try to visit every halfway fundamental pastor in the north and talk to them eyeball to eyeball and try to get them to our meeting in June. We've already got a choir director that's coming up. We've got music that's coming up, good God-honoring music. We're going to have a joint choir where the people can practice in their own choirs and their own New Testament local churches, wherever they may be, and we'll come together that last week. Man, we'll have a choir. We could easily have 100, 200 voice choir. Easily. I'm expecting God to do great things. I was walking around this morning. Somebody, Matt Hudachak, walked in, and he saw me. I was standing here all by myself, and I was looking up at the front, and he said, I said my mind was a million miles away, making plans. Plans concerning the world. How can we see people? We wouldn't get everybody in this auditorium. Don't worry about it. I got a plan. I'm working it out. I hope with God's blessing. I'm trusting. I'm asking. But we have got to start preparing now. And it isn't going to be just about Fundamental Baptist Church. We're going to reap. I know we are. God is going to bless. But we want to help that church across the bridge and that church towards the other end. And we want any church that's standing for the truth. Any church that's preaching the truth, statewide revival. Man, that'd be great. You say, well, Pastor, that'd be a miracle. Kind of like an earthquake. Kind of like the chains falling off. Just before Jesus comes. Let's read here verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Boy, that is nothing. That is an absolute miracle. Oh, I want to say this. I want you to understand this. Okay, so I shared a few things with you that are just in the planning stages, and we're praying about it. I don't want you to think that's what it's going to be about. An end in itself, June the 21st through that Sunday. That's going to be everything. That's what it's. No. That will be a catalyst. That's the beginning. The Burlington revival. The aftershocks are still taking place all over this country. In fact, the meeting, these guys getting together down there, that is a spinoff of the Burlington revival. Man, it could be done there. It could be done in Michigan. And I don't want you to think that that is an end in itself. No, just like the church isn't an end in itself. It's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. All we got to do is get ready. All we got to do is get right. And by the way, then all the grief and all the battles with the little problems of life, from everything from the way people dress to the way they talk to the places they go, man, that'll all be settled as Christ is exalted, as holiness comes back again. That'll all be taken care of as hearts are changed from the inside. There was a great earthquake. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And he knew that was Roman law. If his prisoners were ever to escape, he would be executed. So he's getting ready to commit suicide. I got to tell you, even as I read verse 27, there's somebody within a few miles of this church right now this morning contemplating suicide. They have no hope. They are empty. They don't know where to turn. And that's why the church has got to be revived. That's why Christ needs to be exalted. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. First miracle is all the doors were open. All the chains fell off. The fetters fell from the stocks fell from their ankles, and the fetters from their wrists, and everybody was loose. The second miracle is, nobody left. It wasn't a mad rush for the door. They all knew something great was happening. They heard those hymns. They heard those songs from Paul and Silas. No doubt they testified. No doubt, no, and Paul, they even preached. And around about midnight, they start to sing. The place is shaken. The chains fall off. The doors fall open. The jailer takes his sword and goes to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do that. A voice from the night. We're all still here. Then he called for a light and sprang in. Great words, sprang in. In the Greek, it actually says and actually speaks to being, for the jailer, this is unbelievable. Everybody's still here. He sprang in, and when he saw them, he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, the jailers, call them Paul and Silas, the prisoners, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How do I get what you got? Paul says unto him, verse 31, believe. It's a command. It's an imperative mode. Put your faith in, trust in, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then he adds, and thy house. Somebody gets real New Testament salvation. It changes their life so much. Sis can't help but see there's a change in dad. Junior, he can't believe the change in mom. You know, they just, it's unbelievable. And they want what they have. That's exactly what happens. Just let me read a few more verses here in closing. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, finally taking care of their wounds, and was baptized. He and all his straightway. So here we have this woman, business lady of Thyatira, she gets saved. This demon-possessed young lady, she gets saved. A whole bunch of convicts, they get saved. It's quite a church, just like Fundamental Baptist Church. And then the household of the jailer, no doubt a large household, they get saved. They all get baptized after salvation. They become the church of Philippi that supports the Apostle Paul all those years. And he writes unto them, you know, the book, the New Testament book, Philippians, and he writes unto them and commends them for their great faith. This church at Philippi, with this kind of start, turns into a great New Testament church. It's a miracle. It truly is. The only way for Michigan to get back to what it needs to be is revival. You've heard me say this, and sometimes I think people only hear parts of what I say. And maybe I'm not real clear. I've said this before, you cannot legislate righteousness, but you still need right laws. Because true righteousness comes from the heart. From the heart. I think we got a reprieve. Now the church needs to get revived. We need revival. It can't go on like it's going on. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to tell you how I know. But when I walked away from that prayer meeting, I know. I know. Yesterday, Garrett and I are in the car on the way across. Garrett loves Jesus. He's here this morning. He loves Jesus a lot. He's got a sincere faith, simple faith in God. Talk about spiritual things. In fact, we stayed together in a hotel room on Friday night. And I come out of the bathroom having showered and shaved and everything. And I walk out into my room and it was like stepping into a church service. He had his little phone. He had it on Abiding Radio. Is that what it's called? Abiding Life Radio? It's a beautiful, God-honoring music being played. He's got his Bible open. He's reading. I thought, man, this is great. This is the way it's supposed to be. That's wonderful. Here's a young man that loves God. He tells me on the way over, he says, Pastor, it's going to happen. Now, we haven't been talking about this. I said, what's going to happen, Garrett? He said, revival. It's going to happen, isn't it? And the hair standing up in the back of my neck. I said, yeah, Garrett, I believe it's going to happen. It is. We've got to get ready. We've got to repent of our sin. Hey, church member. Hey, child of God. Someone has to go to the throne and say, God, We're arrogant. We have pride. God, I'm self-willed. Our whole nation is self-willed. God, we're immoral. Look at our culture. Look at what people call as right. Look what people who know better do. We need revival. We truly do. We're so self-absorbed. I was thinking about this. I don't bring my cell phone to church on purpose because it'd probably be ringing all the time, and no way I'm going to do that. And I jokingly refer to it as a tether, and I preach against Facebook, and you know, and I tell you how evil and wicked it is, and I know that. But here's a self-check. You say, Pastor, I know, man, there's a lot of self-absorbed people, but it's not me. Here's a test. I was thinking about this on the way home because I've seen some of your phones. What do they call that on the front? Not the cover page. What do you call that? What do you call the front? You got the picture? What do you call that? What's that? No, it's on your phone. Whenever you turn it on, there's a picture. What do you?
Wallpaper,
whatever it is. Okay, wallpaper, whatever. What's that? Homepage, that's it. I really didn't know. That's why I'm asking you, right? Now I remember it, the homepage, right? When you leave this place, take your phone and pull it out. And your phone. Do you have a picture of you on your phone for your homepage? It's amazing how many people do. All these selfies. Oh, my goodness. It just makes me want to puke. It does. If I took my phone out and there was a picture of Pastor Rader on there, man, I'd throw that phone as far as I could. I mean, yeah. But people, our society, we are so self-absorbed. I got to ask you, what do you need 150 pictures for? Who looks at those? We need revival. Somebody's got to say, God, I'm proud. God, right here at Fundamental Baptist Church, you know what? We're spiritually speaking, we're arrogant. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Confess your sin. Get ready for revival. Get ready to allow God to visit. I've been rattling, and I know for 3 weeks now I haven't really preached through a full text, and I apologize for that, but truth is, Burlington Revival, that's what I heard. Shaking the county, impacting the state. God is doing great things. People are getting saved. People are traveling from 5 states away to get saved. And I kept hearing Burlington Revival. Lo and behold, I find out it's a sister church. Remember last June or July, we had a preacher here, and I just shared with you about the Burlington Revival, and he told me before the service, hey, I was there. Remember he gave a little report? He preached on the lily work in the temple. Remember the guy I'm talking about? I'm not remembering his name. But he said, man, I was there. And he told me all about it and what was going on. And even up until the last month, I did not know the name of the evangelist because he wasn't important. I did not know the name of the pastor because he really wasn't what was important. We got to get out of the way. Get ready for God. Would you pray with me? We need to pray and fast first Wednesday of every month. Start on Tuesday night at sundown. Use a Jewish day. It's easier. Start at sundown. Don't eat until sundown the next night. Don't not eat just for the simple sake of fasting. But every time you get hungry, pray and ask God for revival. If we do that, we'll be getting ready.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.